Will you turn to Isaiah 7, please? Isaiah 7. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. The question is, a sign of what? This message will go around that question. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. A sign of what? What does the sign show us? So this is a sermon from Isaiah about Jesus. Next week will be another sermon from Isaiah about Jesus. The first half of Isaiah describes the future Christ as a king. And the second half of Isaiah describes the future Christ as a servant. Today, Jesus the King. And Isaiah 7 gives this promised one the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel is Hebrew for God with us. So we've read that name in a story we've talked about a couple times already, and we're going to start with that again. Ahaz, king of Judah, descendant of David, was scared of two neighboring kings. Fear is a big theme in Isaiah and in all of our lives, basically. Ahaz was scared of two neighboring kings who were planning to attack him. And to protect himself and his people, Ahaz was planning to make a treaty with the powerful king of Assyria. And while he's planning to make this treaty, before he's put the plan in action, Isaiah brought him a message from God. Isaiah told King Ahaz, don't do anything. Stay calm. God is going to take care of those two neighboring kings. Do not make a treaty with Assyria. Those two kings will never attack you. It is important that you trust God in this. Now, let's pick up the story in chapter 7, verse 11. Isaiah goes on, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. God offered proof that he will deal with those kings. But Isaiah said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Thank you. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. So God offered Ahaz a sign, any sign he wanted, a miracle of Ahaz's own choosing. To prove to Ahaz that God meant this, God would certainly protect him from those two kings. God rarely does this. This is not a normal story. I'm not sure there's another one like it. But Ahaz, the house of David, was at a critical point, and God did not want them to lose their way. So God went the extra mile. Ahaz did not want a sign. He was not interested. He had already made up his mind to trust the Assyrians. But God gave him a sign anyway, the baby boy, Emmanuel. This is actually a very common dilemma for us, Ahaz. Something scares us. And to protect ourselves, we will make a peace treaty with something dark. That's what we do. And God says, no, I'll take care of this. You trust me on this. But that feels scary. And to protect ourselves, it seems like the prudent thing to do is to make a treaty, an agreement, make peace with something dark, a dark power. I'm not talking about a demon. I'm talking about all kinds of things. Assyria is not a demon. It's just a dark power. So this is actually, I think, a common, if you can think of it this way, this is not that unusual for us when we follow the Lord, that we're come up with situations like this. The paragraph about the child is confusing. All the commentaries grope here a little bit. In Hebrew in verse 14, the word virgin means young, single, marriageable woman. It does not have to mean technically a virgin, the way it means in English and in Greek, someone who has not participated in sexual intimacy. It doesn't need to mean that. It could just mean a young woman. So the sentence as it stands could mean a miraculous birth, but it does not have to. It could mean a young woman will get married and get pregnant. See, the rest of the paragraph sounds like somebody born at that time. And by this child, this little boy is 4 years old or so, those two kings, you don't have to worry about them. It sort of functions as a time marker at that point. And yet Isaiah does not say anything about such a boy being born. So what does that mean? Was there a boy born? You know, it's hard to know what's going on here. Matthew uses this verse of Mary, about Mary and Jesus. It's not clear at this point how people could have seen that coming. And I'm not sure what it meant at that time. But you know, the Lord Jesus himself was happy to say things to people that he knew would not make any sense till after he had died and risen again. And he left it like that. And he was sure they would remember and make sense of it afterwards. So something like that is going on here. But listen, this much is clear from the paragraph. Okay, this much we know, for whatever we don't know. A baby will be born, a son. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And this boy is God's sign to his people that God will protect his people from their enemies and take care of them. That much is clear. A baby will be born, a son. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. This boy is God's sign to his people that God will protect his people from their enemies, from the things that scare them. He will take care of them. Now, turn to chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8. Isaiah goes on to describe what kind of trouble Judah is going to get in by inviting the Assyrians. And in this part of Isaiah 8, Isaiah is describing what the powerful Assyrians will do when they come. They're going to overwhelm Judah. And he pictures them as a flood. This is a flood that's going to pour over the Euphrates and destroy Judah. It's going to come up to your necks. And he has in mind the saving of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will survive and everything else will drown. Okay. 8:8. Assyrians like a flood will sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, Emmanuel. Did you get the ending? The breadth of your land, Emmanuel. So Judah is this boy's land. Your land, Emmanuel. How did that happen? So we just talked about Emmanuel, the baby boy, in the previous chapter, that the virgin will conceive. And now the Assyrians are going to cover your land, Emmanuel. So what kind of a person does the whole land of Judah belong? Like not less than a king. It's confusing, but obviously the boy is more than just someone carrying an important name. Judah is his land. Let's keep going. Chapter 8, verse 9. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands, prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy. It will be thwarted. Propose your plan. It will not stand, for Emmanuel. The end of verse 10, your Bible will read, for God is with us. And then they'll have a footnote which says the Hebrew reads, Emmanuel. If you were reading in Hebrew, the sentence would end awkwardly, and we will leave it like that. Your purpose will not stand, for Emmanuel. English, we don't like anything awkward, so we find a way to make it less awkward. But that's the way it's said. So the point here is now back to the virgin son in Isaiah 7. The boy was a sign to God's people that they did not need to worry about those two neighboring kings because God would protect them. But now Emmanuel is a sign of God's protection from all the nations. All the distant lands, raise the war cry, be shattered. Prepare for battle, be shattered. Propose your plan, it won't work. For Emmanuel, the reason your plans won't stand is Emmanuel. Emmanuel will shadow you. So the boy called Emmanuel, which we know to be Jesus, is certainly a sign that God is with us and will protect us. But in verses 9 and 10, which we just read, he is the one, he seems to be the one, that himself conquers the nations and shatters the people. So, you know, if we didn't have hindsight to go back, we would have be groping to do what to do with Emmanuel here. But something like that you could figure out even if you weren't sure of the details. Revelation speaks of one final, great final battle in which God's enemies all gather to put an end to God's people. Revelation 16, 19, and 20 all describe the battle. It's one battle in which Christ conquers. And that's what these verses feel like to me. Raise the war cry and be shattered. Listen, distant lands, prepare and be shattered. Propose your plan, it will not stand. So this is Emmanuel, and he's actually taking us right to the very end. That's what Isaiah verses 8, 9, and 10 feel like to me. Emmanuel himself is the protector. So, see, in chapter 7, the boy was a sign that God would protect. God would be with us. But by chapter 8, the boy himself is the protector. He's the one that shatters the nations. He does this himself. So, when Jesus is called Emmanuel, it means God is with us. But why? God is with us to protect from the things that scare us. God is not passively present. He's not trying to solve our loneliness. He's trying to solve our weakness and our vulnerability, our fears. He's guarding and shielding. So the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, is God's sign that God takes care of his people and he fights for them. We often don't feel very protected. The prayer requests in this room a little while ago show how we don't feel protected in this world. And there are reasons for that. And that's fine. I don't feel in that sense protected. But from God's side, there's a lot of protecting going on. And from his side, he has a real concern to protect us and take care of us. He's doing lots of protection. And Emmanuel is a sign that he cares about that. Verses 11 to 13. Let's keep going in chapter 8. Verses 11 to 13. So now there's a break here. Now in 11, God went after Isaiah himself. God's warning the prophet. This is what the Lord says to me, Isaiah, with his strong hand on me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Isaiah, do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. The problem is not that we feel afraid of dangers around us. People, I can be scared, so that my heart pounds and my legs shake and my stomach hurts and I can't sleep. That's what would happen to me. I know about this. From that, you can't tell if I'm trusting God or not. That's just the setup. Will I then make a treaty with something dark to protect myself? That's the question. That's called unbelief. Or will I serve God rather than protect myself? That's called faith. What you feel like has nothing to do with faith or mistrust. Everybody gets scared. Isaiah was going to sound scared by the end of this chapter too. Faith and obedience at that point, when I'm terrified, faith and obedience are interchangeable. Trusting God means I will obey Him. Obeying God means I trust Him. At that point, they become interchangeable. We like it that we're saved by faith, not by works, because our works aren't that good. I'm a little baffled here, because our faith isn't that good either. Is our faith in better shape than our works? Not mine. I don't think you're any better than I am, but maybe you are. But anyway, we're not good at either faith or works. So why we should relax because we're saved by our faith baffles me. We actually just need God to be really good to us when we say help. That's why we got saved. Not because either the faith or the works are that hot. Anyway, at that point, when I'm scared, that doesn't mean faith or unbelief. Will I do what Ahaz did and make a treaty with the dark thing? Or will I refuse to make the treaty with the dark thing and keep serving God? That's what faith or unbelief look like at that point. Isaiah's response in chapter 8, verse 17. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face. I will put my trust in him. No matter what happens, I will not make a treaty with the dark thing. The sign of Emmanuel, the protection of Emmanuel, comes with a call. And the call is, don't you fear what they fear, and don't you dread what they dread. You regard the Lord Almighty as holy. He is your fear. He is your dread. And the right response to that call is, I will wait for the Lord. I will put my trust in him. In different ways, you people in this church show this kind of faith regularly. I see that. You already know this and you believe it. Trusting God is not easy. I hope. Don't let anyone ever give you that impression. It is not easy. But you do keep trusting him and serving him. But listen, so did Isaiah, and God thought Isaiah needed to get warned again. And if Isaiah needed to get warned again, we need to get warned again. You and me. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let fear take us from making God our first concern. So, what is the sign of the virgin's baby? A baby will be born, a son, his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And this boy is God's sign to his people, that God will protect his people from the things they dread. So, stay calm, don't worry, trust in God. Let's keep reading. Chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. Just 6 and 7 from chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, this can hardly not be the virgin son, Emmanuel. The boy was assigned to Ahaz. But listen, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. We've already sort of seen this. The child now is not a sign just to Ahaz. This is all who trust him. And we can say, to us. So you need to picture yourself sort of in Ahaz's place. And God says, would you like a sign that I'm going to take care of you? Would you like a sign that I'm going to take care of you? Here, the virgin will conceive and call him Emmanuel. To us. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. We are all supposed to take this sign. In Jesus, God gives you and me what he gave Ahaz. That's how the scriptures would like us to take this. And when we hear about Emmanuel, we need to put ourselves in Ahaz's shoes, except that we have not yet decided to make peace with the dark thing, which he had. But otherwise, God is giving that to us. So I'm going to read that paragraph and talk about it a little bit. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Well, lots of extra things here. We will not do much. He will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father. I think this is the only messianic prophecy in the Old Testament that talks about the deity of Christ. I don't know of any others that do that. But this is these two terms, he will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, can hardly be taken any other way. Emmanuel means is a sign that God is with us. But you see, the boy was a sign that God was with us. And at this point we find out that actually it's more than that, that the boy is God, to put it bluntly. And that's how God is with us. There's a whole new meaning to the word Emmanuel that has not been in there until now. Now the boy himself grown, or the boy himself is divine, is deity. He is himself Mighty God, Everlasting Father. So that's a whole new kind of understanding of Emmanuel. He's not just a sign that God is with us. Now he becomes God is with us. To us a child is born. To us in Cleveland, not just to Ahaz, not just to the virgin, a son is given. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. The boy is God's sign to his people that God will be with us to protect us from our enemies and take care of us. That's why God sent the son. One more text. We'll just read it. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. This is chapter 11, verse 1. It would be good if I told you that, wouldn't it? This is chapter 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. It reminds you of Jesus' baptism, when the Spirit came on Jesus. That's what's going on here. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. That was one of my favorite sentences. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. So, this means when God says, don't dread what they dread, don't fear what they fear, I'm holy, I'm your dread, I'm your fear, the Messiah says, yes, that's the way I want to live. That's in all of you too. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. There's something in him that says, yes, I want to live that. He delights in the fear of the Lord. It calls me. I want to pursue that. And I know that call is already among us. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. The breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. In Revelation, Jesus slaughters all the nations with the sword coming out of his mouth. It's exactly, this is, Isaiah's talking about the second coming here in a lot of different ways. And look where this takes us. Chapter 11, verse 6. It takes us back to Eden, which is also Revelation. 11, verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. The young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That's where Emmanuel's spirit-led government ends up. And Matthew tells us how this got started. I'm going to read a text you already know that's in Matthew 1. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Mary will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you know how Matthew ends? It ends with Jesus talking. Surely I am with you all the days, right to the end of the age. This is Emmanuel himself. Surely I am with you all the days, right to the end of the age. So you picture yourself as Ahaz, getting a personal sign from God that he will take care of us. A sign from God that the things you fear and dread will not destroy you. A sign that I am sure to make, God is saying, here's a sign for you that I'm on this, and I'm sure to make sure it does not destroy you. And the sign is the baby, Emmanuel. To us the child is born. Amen.